I have, as you, different members of my body. Now, each particular member of my body has its own particular function. With my feet and legs, I walk. With my ears, I hear. With my eyes, I see. With my brain, I think. With my tongue, I speak. With my hands, I grasp and feel. Every part of my body has its particular purpose. Now, it's a strange body. The fellow used his hands for walking. God didn't intend for that. God has given the hands a unique place. God did not intend for us to pick up stuff with our feet. It's not near as easy to pick up stuff with your toes as with your fingers. In fact, it's well nigh impossible. And so, it's God. Now, the body works beautifully when the body works in harmony, each member of the body doing that particular part that it was meant to do. Now, the Lord Jesus likens the, or Paul, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, likens the church to a body. And God gives to each of us in the church different gifts. You stop and think for a while all the different things that have gone gone on to make this service possible tonight. God gave to somebody the gift of cleaning this building and getting it ready. God gave to somebody the gift of preparing the comfort, the heat just right in this building, and that it might be comfortable for us in the building. God gave to somebody the gift of getting the public address system all ready for this service. God gave to somebody else the gift of taking care of the babies while we have our service in this auditorium. God gave to somebody else the gift of playing the organ and the piano for the service. And God gave to somebody else the gift of leading the choir and the congregational singing. And God gives to somebody else the gift of singing the solos we've heard tonight. And God gives to some the gift of working here at the altar. And God gives to some the gift of working up in the baptismal dressing rooms, preparing folks for baptism. And God gives to some the gift of helping in the water here. And God gives to some the gift of taking the names of those and writing on a piece of paper and putting that name on the shoulder here, where those of us who baptize can see the name of the person. And God gives somebody else the gift to deal with the converts. And God gives somebody else the gift to turn the lights out when it's all over, and so forth. And each of us doing his own job makes the service possible. Now, there are many other jobs that are important. The taking of the offering and the ushering and other things are important. The fellows who meet me at my office door and escort me for my safety to the pulpit and back from the pulpit to my office at night. And every person working in his job makes the service like this go. Now, when you got saved, God imparted to you some gift whereby you could become a working, vital member of the body of Christ. Now, it may be that you don't know what that gift was. But you, since you got saved, are vital to the entire body of Christ. I have in my body a part I do not know about. I have parts of my body here I cannot even name. Something down in here around my gizzard, I don't know what it is. I've never seen these parts. I know they must be marvelous because they're part of this tremendous physique I have here. And that sort of makes you sick, doesn't it? Anyway, I don't know what they are, but I need them. Now, I'm not a doctor. You medical doctors, have mercy on me. And then if you don't, I won't be having mercy on you from now on when I preach. But I'm of the opinion that you shouldn't give up your gallbladder unless you have to give up your gallbladder as a last resort. I'm of the opinion that we need the tonsils and we need the adenoids and so forth. I'm of the opinion that every part of the body is important, and just as every part of the physical body is important, even so every part of the spiritual body of Christ is important. Now that means if you're saved and if God has put you in this church, you are vital to the working of this church. There is some part that God has for you in this church. Now, these gifts, some of these gifts are listed here in 1 Corinthians. I'll read a few of them to you. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues, faith, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, knowledge, wisdom, and so forth. Now, here are some of these gifts. Now, I'm sure that you know somebody to whom you believe God has given the gift of wisdom. I think that you know other people to whom you believe that God has given the gift of knowledge. They know the Bible perhaps a little better than others. I think there are those to whom you know God has given the gift of teaching because they can teach the Bible and impart the truths of the Bible better than the average person can. So God has given to you and to me a gift or some gifts. Now, bear in mind this. These gifts are given for one main purpose. Don't lose me now. And that is that you may use that gift in the work of Jesus Christ. And that you may be a working, vital part of the body of Christ. Now, this is important. That gift, or those gifts that God has given to you, will never be taken back. God will never remove that gift from you. Romans 11:29 says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. What does it mean? It means God, if God called you to preach, then God has called you to preach for life. It means that if God has called you into his work, God means you to spend your life. Oh, these poor preachers that say, well, I'm getting up in middle age now. It's time for me to get me a secular job and make a good living and get ready for retirement. Somebody sold you a wooden nickel. That's not the Bible at all. God does not take back his calling. God didn't call you to preach for half a life. The gifts, now also, the calling of God without repentance, but the gifts are also without repentance. Mrs. Colston, God has given you a gift to play that organ. Now, that gift was given to you primarily for the playing of that organ for God. And you will always have that gift. God has given you that gift. It is a gift that will not be retracted and will not be taken back. Now then, listen carefully to this. However, these gifts, though primarily given for the work of Christ, may also be used for other purposes than the work of Christ. Don't leave me now. Listen carefully. These gifts that are given to you primarily for the work of Christ can be used in other areas. Let me illustrate. Here's a man that has the gift of teaching. God has given him the gift of teaching. Now, that man, as he gets that gift of teaching, can launch out and suppose he has a business. If God gives him the gift of teaching, then that very gift that God gives him for the teaching of the Word of God certainly will be transferable to his business, and he'll build a bigger business and a better business or be a better salesman because God has given him that gift. So I'm saying when God gives to you a gift, then God also allows you to use that gift in the advancement of every area that is ripe in your life. If God gives you a gift that'll help in church, you may use that gift at home also, as long as you use it in church. If God's given you a gift to use in the body of Christ, you can use that same gift in your business if you want to. Take the gift of government. God gives a man the gift of government. And God puts him on the board of the church. And that man helps to control the affairs of the First Baptist Church as a member of our board of deacons. Now, that man who's given the gift of government, he's not going to get dumb when he walks out of the deacons meeting, unless he was dumb when he walked in. And come to think of it. But anyway, I'm saying he's not going to get dumb when he walks out of the deacon's meeting. So the fact that God gives him that gift of business and government, if when he leaves the deacon's meeting and leaves the work of the Lord for a while and goes to his place of business on Monday morning, he can use that gift that God has given him and make himself a better businessman. Let's take the gift of faith. God gives somebody the gift of faith. That gift of faith, he intends for us to primarily use in the work of the Lord. But if you use that gift of faith in proper investment, as a banker, as an investor, and use that gift in that area, it's not. See, God doesn't give you a gift taken away from you when you walk out the doors of the church. So when you get a gift from God, it'll make you a better everything, and God does not mind you using that gift in the other areas of your life. Let's take somebody who has the gift of counseling, the gift of wisdom. Now, if that somebody has the gift of wisdom, if he goes and teaches school in a school somewhere, and some child comes up and needs somebody to counsel with him, or some family needs a counselor, certainly God does not mind you taking that gift that was given to you for the use of God in using it in some other area that is just and right and proper. Take the gift of knowledge. God gives somebody the gift of knowledge. Now, that gift is to be used in the work of the Lord. That's the primary purpose for that gift. But God does not mind you taking that gift of knowledge and teaching school with it. God does not mind you teaching mathematics or Elizabethan literature. God does not mind you teaching health or biology. God does not mind you teaching physics or chemistry. God does not mind you teaching algebra or trigonometry. Now, God didn't give you that gift to teach trigonometry with. In fact, I don't think God ever gave anybody a gift to teach trigonometry. Cosines and sines and cotangents and tangents, the devil thought all that stuff up. No doubt about that. Now, the first student that says that in school is in trouble with the superintendent. But anyway, but God gives you a gift to teach. And so, let's suppose you have a Sunday school class. You teach the Word of God in that Sunday school class, but you teach algebra in the school system. And I think you'll be a better algebra teacher. That's why Christians make better anything than unsaved folks do make. Because the gifts that God gives to us, we can use those gifts if we use them primarily for God's service. We can transfer them to our secular lives, our homes, our businesses, even our pleasure. Let's say, Miss Colston, God's given you the gift of music, and then the playing the organ. I don't mind you taking, when you go home tonight, I don't mind you gathering the family around and singing and playing when I was seeing Nellie Holm. Of course, I'm not as old as you. I don't recall those songs, but my mother told me about them. And there's nothing wrong with that. Using your talent to sing, "Oh, my darling Clementine." Or, "From this valley they say you are going. We will miss your bright eyes and sweet smile. For you take with you all of the sunshine that has brightened my pathway a while. Come and sit by my side, little darling." Now, see, God gave you the gift of singing. And as you can see, God gave me the gift, a marvelous gift of singing. "Oh, holy night, the night of..." But see, God gave me that. Now, I don't take any glory for it. It's a gift of God. And I thank him for this marvelous gift that he's given me. But for the grace of God, I can be like these folks over here. And so, is it wrong? If Miss Colston has this gift, is it wrong for her to gather the family around tonight after they get home? And is it wrong for them to sing together something, "Oh, Susanna, oh, won't you cry for me? For I come from Alabama, and lend you all my knee?" Or maybe a love song, like "Someday, Sweet..." No, but anyway, a love song, like "Stardust," or "Till the End of Time," or some other of the beautiful love songs. Now, is it wrong? Of course it's not wrong. Now, Miss Colston, God gave you that gift primarily and basically for his service. But God doesn't mind you using it on your spare time to have a little fun, a little good time. God says, "Okay, it's mine. It's the gift I gave you, and I want you to use it for me." But if you want to use it in some other area as part-time or pastime or even a profession to make you a better whatever you are, that's perfectly all right. Let's take, forgive me for saying it, but let's take the gift of humor. There are those who would doubt that I have it, but of course, I am not among those who doubt that I have it. But I do see the funny side in things. I see so many funny things in life. And I just do. Funny thing. I can see, as you know, I can see funny things that you can't even think are funny. Perhaps you've noticed that through the years. But I see it. Now look, you know, strange thing about that. You know, when I was a kid, I never could tell a joke. Lord, control my temper. As a kid, I'd tell a joke, and everybody go, "Yeah," and then what else happened? Or I always tell the punchline first. Now, did you hear the one about, I tell the punchline, and then it's all over. But you know, and I didn't see the funny side of things when I was a kid. When God called me to preach, immediately, just like turning a light on, things got funny to me. And I enjoy life. See, some of you folks don't enjoy it like I do, because I can laugh at most anything. You've got to laugh at good humor. I can laugh at corn. I can laugh at Brother Fist. And in his jokes. And so forth. But, now, is it wrong? Now, God gave you that to keep you awake. A lot of you folks have been long gone by now if we hadn't laughed some, you see. And some of you are long gone anyhow. And Santa Claus is not going to come to see you. Now, so, but you know, there's nothing wrong with Brother Fisk if you and I are to each other. There's nothing wrong with us having a little fun together. Not trying to keep the crowd's attention. When I'm talking to you in my office sometimes, I don't say, I got to keep his attention. He's about to go to sleep over there. I got to tell him something funny. No, I tell him something funny because I want to tell him something funny. You see. Now, if you get a little loggy while I'm preaching, I may insert a little something humorous to get you with me again. Forgive me for saying it. I hate to blame this on God, but it's a gift. You see. It's about, in my case, I'm about as proficient with it as my singing. But as you just noticed. But God does not mind us using these gifts in other areas of our lives. Let's take Mrs. Salee. Now God has given her a gift of singing. Ed Wolver, same thing. Now Ed, there's nothing wrong. Tonight you use your voice for the purpose that God gave it to you. God gave you that voice in order that you may bless us in this church through these many years. But if you go home tonight, decide you want to live it up, and walk in and say to your family, Flatfoot flew you to Floyd Floyd. Flatfoot flew you to Floyd Floyd. Flatfoot flew you to Floyd Floyd. Floyd 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 Floyd. There's nothing wrong with that. And they're not at all, you see. Or if you want to gather the family together and sing a medley of secular songs, as long as they're not immoral and decent, there's nothing wrong with that. You see, God simply says, I am giving to each of my people in the body a gift. If they use that gift for me, I will give them permission to use that gift in other areas of life. Now, the sin is to use that gift only for self and not use that gift for God. Here's a fella that has a good personality, and God gives him that gift of personality. For what? For soul winning. Now follow me carefully. For soul winning. God says, I want you to bring forth fruit. And God gives you a winning way with people. And God gives you a personality that wraps folks around your finger. And you can persuade people. God just gives you that. And why did God give you? Primarily, God gave it to you to win folks to him. Now, God doesn't mind you using that. If you're an insurance salesman, God will let you do it. That's all right. God says, it's my gift to you. By the way, you know, that's why our kind of Christianity makes folks successful. Our brand of Christianity makes bosses at the job. We take young people and common people. We teach them character. We say, work! You give a guy 8 good hours work, 8 good hours pay. And we teach character and diligence and integrity and honesty. And God comes along and gives you a gift which makes Christian people the best prospects for promotion and best candidates for climbing the ladder, because they're taught qualities that tend to bring success, and they're given a gift by God that can be used in the bringing of that success. Now, here's where you get in trouble. God gives you a gift of personality, and you use that gift for the purpose for which God gave it to you. Soul winning, teaching a Sunday school class. But God says, use it if you'd like. I'll let you use it in business. Now, here's the sin and the danger. When you get to the place to where you resign the soul winning and resign the Sunday school class, and then you use the gift, and by the way, God won't take it back. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So God doesn't take it back. And you use it for your businesses. I know people in this room tonight who have sinned against God Almighty. God gave you a gift, and you once used it for soul winning, for teaching, for serving God. But you start using it in a business. And now then, you've taken that gift that God gave you and are using it in your business only, and you never win souls. You never do anything for God but fill up about 18 inches of pew out there. And you're prostituting the gifts that God has given you. It's a sin. A vile, wicked, by the way, it's a misappropriation of funds. Mommy, I said to my mother, I want that ever-sharp pencil. You folks that are old enough can recall we called it ever-sharp. Mommy, I want that ever-sharp pencil in the grocery store. Son, we don't have a nickel. Mommy, I want an ever-sharp pencil. Son, we don't have a nickel. Mommy, I don't have an ever-sharp. All the other kids in school have an ever-sharp. I want that ever-sharp. I can still see it. At Smith's grocery store on a little card had a bunch of ever-sharp pencils. The kind you just, you know, they screw the lead out. But they were new in those days. Mommy, I want ever-sharp. And finally we had a family meeting and we decided that the family could give me a nickel for an ever-sharp. I went down to Smith's grocery store to buy that ever-sharp, but they had some of these little Cheez-Its. Little yellow and orange boxes, I think they are, of Cheez-Its. Little squares, like that big square. And they said, Cheez-Its, a nickel a box. And you know, suddenly I lost all my desire for that ever-sharp. And I bought me a box of Cheez-Its. And I came home, Mom said, son, let me see your pencil. I said, Mom, I didn't get a pencil. I got the Cheez-Its instead. Now, Mama had given me a gift for a purpose. I had passed, and by the way, that's fraud. That is a penitentiary offense. If we take an offering and send across state lines and raise money for how, for example, we're raising money right now for a boys' dormitory, men's dormitory, Howells Anderson College. If people send us money across the country, and we take that money they send in and use it for redecorating this auditorium. Now, we're guilty of fraud. If we could be indicted, arrested, tried, and convicted for fraud, and guess who would be writing a prison epistle next month? Why? Because we are misappropriating something that was raised for one purpose and used for another. That's exactly what you're doing. God didn't give you that gift of a winsome personality just to build a big business. And God didn't give you that gift of a warm, winsome personality just for you to be a good salesman. That's me. If you are not using your gift for the purpose for which God gave it to you, you are guilty of spiritual fraud. It's about time you got as scared of God as you get scared of the government. God gives you the gift of teaching. Take a Sunday school class. Teach it. Use that gift on the side for selling. After a while, you take the gift, use it for selling, you don't teach anymore. You have prostituted God's gifts. You're guilty of fraud. God didn't give you that gift for you to build a business. As sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit tonight, there are people in this room who are going to come under the judgment of Almighty God Because you have taken those gifts God gave you for a purpose. The purpose was that you might be used in the work of the church. Now, folks, any one of us could take the gifts that God has given us and prostitute them to our benefit. I'll give an example. I got a letter. One of the big companies, corporations in America. They had heard my tape, 7 Steps to Success. And they wrote me and said, we want you to come and bring that talk to our national convention. I imagine 10,000 people. Now, I won't call the name of the corporation. It was as big as Eastern Airlines or Hilton Hotel. Giant thing. He said, I want you to bring that talk to our nationwide convention. Now get this. I will pay you $4,000 for that one talk. Did you hear what I said? $4,000 for 1 hour. Well, reconsider. Now, wait a minute. God did, if I'm a motivator, and I've been accused of being, God didn't give me my gift of motivating to be used for a nationwide corporation. God gave it to me to be used in His work. God gave it to me to be used in the body of Christ and promoting of His work. Now, if I, listen, I could resign this church today if God let me live. And I could schedule myself up in secular appointments. And I could make $500,000 a year. Think about that. Think about it. But God didn't give me whatever gifts I have to use for secular corporations. You say, yeah, I believe that. How many of you think I ought to resign? No, I don't want to ask that question. No. Oh, I'm not asking for a vote of confidence here tonight at all. My confidence is shaken with this kind of support like I have behind me. I'm just hoping I'll get out alive. But I'm saying, I have as much right to as you do. As much right as you do. Let me illustrate. We give Brother Colston a car, and other men too, but I use him as an example. Now, the church provides that car for him. Now, Brother Colston, we give it to you because you visit all over this area. You go to hospitals, you visit folks who are sick, and we give it to you for that purpose. Now, you got to go home this week, aren't you? Lane's folks, somebody's folks. This week, sometime, his sister up Wisconsin. Okay, how are you gonna get there? What car are you gonna drive? Your own. But you're welcome to drive ours if you'd like. See. So now, anybody here mind if Brother Colston drives the car we give him for visiting sick folks? Anybody mind if he drives on vacation? Huh? I guess you fellows do over here, don't you? But you don't mind. How about me? Can I drive mine? You give me. No, I understand that. All right? So, okay, we'll get back to Brother Colston then because it illustrates so much better. Let me ask you another question. Suppose we just let him have it and let him spend all his time on a vacation. Is that okay with you? Huh? Suppose he spends 6 days a week on days off using the car you provide and one day doing his work. Is that okay with you? What do you think is okay with God? Listen, the truth is, every one of us is a smarter person than we were when we got saved. We're more talented than we were when we got saved. We have more ability than we had when we got saved. And all of it is a gift from Almighty God. Now, when we take this gift, God's okay, use it for a little enjoyment. Use it for a day off. Use it. But If you get the place to where you decide you're going to use that gift that God's given you just for your own extra, and you resign the class, and quit your soul winning, and quit your serving God, and quit your bus route, God is not happy. You're prostituting the gift that God has given to you. Let's take the matter of secretaries. Miss McKinney is my secretary. Now, we provide a typewriter for her. Now, that typewriter is provided to her by us. What's it for? For the work of the Lord. Does anybody here mind if she stays a little late some Monday night or Tuesday night and sends out Christmas cards and uses that typewriter for mailing out her own personal Christmas card? Anybody mind? Anybody mind her staying a little late and writing thank you notes? Now, hold it, with that same typewriter. She works 50, 60 hours a week, and she does, by the way. And she works for God and for His cause. You think God would mind her using that typewriter for her own cause for a little bit? No, He wouldn't. Let me ask you a question. How are you going to feel about it when Ms. McKinney goes in the Christmas card business? And she decides to send out 1 million Christmas cards a year and type a few of them every day. Take about 8 hours a day. And uses that typewriter completely for her own personal use. That's something different. Now you listen to me. You are a dirty crook! A crook! God's given some of you folks the gift of singing, and you sit out there on your backslidden blessed assurance and don't use your gift, you're a fraud! God's given you the gift of persuading people. You can sell insurance. You can run a business. But you're only using God's gifts for yourself. You're a fraud. You're dirty and you're crooked. You're prostituting the gifts that God has given you. I know a preacher who was a pastor of a growing church. And God gave him a marvelous ability to counsel with people. He'd counsel with dozens of folks every week. What'd he do? Quit his pastorate. Set him up a marriage counseling firm where all he does now is counsel with people secularly. Now he's a crook. He's misappropriating funds. He's crooked. And so are you. God gave you a gift and God said, use it for me. And God in His goodness and mercy and compassion and tender love and kindness, God said, you can also take that gift and you can also use it for your business if you want to and make yourself a better business. Now, that's strange. If God's gracious enough to give you a gift and let you use it on your own a little bit too, how crooked can a guy be when he decides to use it all for himself? God won't take it back. Here's what God will do. God will make that same gift a curse. God will use that gift and allow you to commit spiritual suicide by the misuse that you're making of that gift. Illustration. We asked him to drive a church bus, but he wouldn't. He drove a truck for a living, but not a church bus. He took that gift he could have used for God and prostituted it and was guilty of fraud. God gave him that ability. God gave him that wisdom. God gave him that gift. He would not use it for driving a church bus. He used it for his selfish motives and drove a truck. Oh, by the way, he was killed in a truck accident. God did not take the gift away. God let him keep the gift, and in the committing of fraud against God, the gift in his own hand that he prostituted was used as a murdering stick for his own life. That's what happens. I know a man who was given a marvelous gift, a winsome personality. That man use that personality for God. One of the best soul winners we had in Texas, in my church. He was every Sunday, just about, he brought folks down the aisle. And that's what God gave him that personality for. But, wait a minute, he got that personality that God gave him, and he used it in his insurance business. Listen now, in his insurance business. He became a successful salesman. He used that same personality, that same business sense, and used it in his business. He led the whole district in sales. He made hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then, like some you crooks have done, he quit using his gift for God. Listen. That same winsome personality, that same conniving mind, that same brilliant, logical brain that God gave him. He didn't have it before he got saved. God gave it to him as a gift to be used for God. He didn't use it for God. He became so brilliant, he began to embezzle. Tonight, he's an embezzler. No, he's not. He's a prisoner in the United States Penitentiary. He took God's gift, and God said, use it for me. And he said, okay, but can I use it in my business also? And God said, sure, go ahead. And then he decided to use it all in his business. And God said, okay, and let's hear it. I don't miss this. God will not take your gift away. But God will take his spirit away. And your gift, without his spirit, is a deadly, dangerous weapon. Let's suppose tonight, I've written 27 books. My books have passed 5 million in sales. I've got one book that has made me a profit, personal profit, of over $333,000. One book. Just one. Just one. Now, God gave me some little measure of a gift to put on paper what's in here and what's in here. And I use it for him. Now, I've never taken money. I've never taken a dime for that book. Think about it now. That book was written 4 years ago. It has made me, if I took it, over $333,000. Now, I'm a poor man because what little I have, I give away. I don't make riches. Let me ask you a question. If I took that $333,000, that same gift, I can still write all the words I've learned, I can still put them down. But that gift without the power of God is a wild thing. It's like a child driving a car. It's like a little baby playing with a pistol. Why? God gave me a gift, and he gives me the Holy Spirit with which to use that gift. And he says, I'll let you use it on the side if you want to. But when I get to the place where my use of it on the side is bigger than my use of it for the purpose God gave it to me, then that same gift will rise up and choke me to death, and God will use that gift as a weapon of his judgment. He never came to deacon meeting. He was given the gift of government and business. He never came to deacon's meeting. Oh, he did at first because God gave him a gift. But he started his own business. Now then, on the side, the gift that God gave him to be a deacon, he used it for his own business. Now, wait a minute. Then he could come to the deacon's meeting and use that gift just in his business. He now is in jail. Why? Because he was guilty of spiritual fraud. And spiritual fraud will sooner or later become government fraud. Now listen to me. God always
Almighty, when he saves you, he gave you a purpose and he gave you a gift. And God wants you to use it for him. He allows you to use it also in other areas in order that the gift he's given you might help you enrich your entire life. But when you get to the place where you quit the use of that gift for God, and listen, there are folks in this room tonight, never do one funny thing. Boy, you can sell insurance, but you can't win souls. You can build a business. Listen, a guy can build a business, can build a Sunday school class. You're a fraud. You're a cheat. You are a spiritual prostitute. Using that which God gave you as a gift, as a tool for his work, using it selfishly for yourself. Now that thing becomes a temptation, especially when a person gets in middle years. Because we suddenly realize we can't work forever. We need security. And before we know it, our own physical security becomes more important than serving God with the gift that he gave us. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you prostituting the gift that God has given you? The lady said one time down in Texas to me, she said, "Oh," she said, "I couldn't bring anybody to church. I'm just not outgoing." And I said, "Didn't you give a Tupperware party at your house?" "Yes." "Didn't you have a deal that if you got 40 people to come to your Tupperware party, you get a free bowl?" "Yes." "Didn't I see you walking up and down the street trying to get ladies to come to your Tupperware party?" "Yes." "Didn't you come by our house trying to get a good crowd to your Tupperware party?" "Yes." "Did you have 40? "Yeah, I got the bowl." And I said, "If you can go up and down these streets begging folks to come to a Tupperware party, you dead sure can go up and down these streets telling them that the gospel of Jesus Christ can save their souls from a burning hell and take them to heaven forever." How wicked! Listen, we've got the idea that the bad sins, you know, drinking, adultery, homosexuality, stealing, murder, how bad! Listen, I'll tell you what the bad sin is. The bad sin is when God Almighty saves your soul and gives you a gift for which you can't, are supposed to use in his service and allows you to use it for yourself also, transferring that gift to other areas of your life. And then you get so greedy and so selfish and so wicked and so crooked. You take that gift that God's given you and use it for yourself. You mark it down, brother. That gift will one day boomerang. Listen, hey, listen. God will judge you for that behavior. Yes, he will. I love you. I want the best for you. But there are some people in this room tonight that are very... Brother Fisk, you're thinking about names right now, and I am too. Names just going through my mind, just like that. People that used to be in the middle of everything here. Busy. Active. God gave them gifts. Listen, buddy. Hey, listen to me, buddy. You're not so smart. You're not so smart. Oh, you sound in the real estate business, and boy, I'll tell you, I'm making a lot of money. You're making it with a gift God gave you to use something else. You're not so smart. You're crooked. I can name people in this room right now. There was a day when you were in the center of everything. Bus! Sunday school! Soul winning! Center of everything! Right in the middle of it. And God made it so. And listen, you never thought you'd become a soul winner. You never thought you could. And boy, the first time you went out, you stuttered and stammered. You said, Brother Fisk, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. But God gave you the ability. And God gave you to conquer that personality problem. You became an extrovert. And then that made you an extrovert on the job. And then you became successful. And then you pipsqueak, you smart aleck, you fraud, you crook, you prostitute of God's gifts. You quit God. You quit doing what the thing God gave you that gift to do this and this and this and this, and you don't do it anymore. And now you're using God's gift for your own selfish means. Don't think for a minute that God has forgotten what you're doing. I'll take it one other step. Same thing's true about salvation. Same thing. God gave you your body. Those ears, God gave you. That tongue, God gave you. Those eyes, God gave you. Those hands, God gave you. Those feet, God gave you. That heart, God gave you. The air, God gave you. The food, God gave you. The water, God gave you. The sunshine, God gave you. The rain, God gave you. Everything you have is a gift of Almighty God. And God gave you everything you have for one purpose, that you, through the very life that God has given you, may bring glory to Him. And yet you're taking that life and using it for yourself. Not even saved. You're a crook. You stole that which is God's. God didn't give you that tongue with which to curse. God gave you that tongue with which to praise. God didn't give you those lips with which to profane. God gave you those lips to bless. God didn't give you those hands for your own selfish desires. God gave you those hands that you may take them and help His creation and use them for Himself. And if you're not saved tonight, you are guilty of fraud. You are taking your body, your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears, your lips, your tongue, your body, and using it for a purpose for which God Almighty never made it. And if you have any character, you'll get saved. You know, I'm going to close now. Strange thing to me. Maybe we tell too many sad stories to get folks saved. Maybe we talk too much about the sweet by and by to get folks saved. Maybe we just ought to stand up here and say, buddy, God made you and you belong to Him and you're a dirty crook if you don't get saved. And for honesty and character and integrity, your life belongs to God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You have no right to use your life as you want to use it. And if you're not a child of God tonight, you are a prostitute of God's gifts to you. The gift of your body, the gift of your never-dying soul. Now, if you're not saved, here's why you ought to get saved. You ought to say, well, buddy, I'm not going to be crooked anymore. This body belongs to God. God, you can have it. And you ought to just walk out of that seat tonight like an honest, decent man should and walk down the aisle and say, okay, I'm going to quit being a crook. I'm going to quit being a fraud. I'm going to be honest. God gave my body for Him, and in service, I'll give it back to Him. That's the honest thing to do. Then if you're saved, listen, there are college students in this room tonight. You came to college and God put you here and God let you take that ability into your working. And now you quit your college and gone to working full time. God didn't have that in mind. There are dozens of people tonight in this room who are using the gifts that God has given them for their own selfish motives and not for the purpose which God gave you, your gifts. For the sake of character and honesty and old-fashioned integrity, you owe it to God Almighty to be honest and say, God, here is the gift that you gave me. I stole it from you. I've used it for other purposes. And now I come back and give it to you, for it was yours to give and mine to use for the purpose that you gave it to me. And Lord, thank you too that you let me use it a little bit on the side for myself. Let us pray.